Hi, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to our college football podcast, The Fifth Quarter. This is episode number 16. I'm your host, John Shomo. This week, we will review a locally very disappointing Week 14 rivalry week. We will look at some issues that have arisen from some of those rivalry games, and we will preview 9 conference title games that are on deck for this coming weekend, the weekend of December 13th and 14th. And then we'll make some picks at the end, as we usually do. So let's get started. First of all, some shout outs. It was really great to have Matt and Marina here last week for the holiday weekend. It was fantastic to see Matt's friends, Pat Riley and Kyle Bowl, a couple of former THS students, luminaries, if you will. They were over for the game on Saturday. Great to see those guys. Pat's a listener of both this podcast and our other podcast, Then and Now. He listens to it on the train in New York on the way to work. So thanks for listening, and great to see all of you. Happy to have you here. Okay. Very disappointing Saturday afternoon in Columbus, Ohio, to say the least. The Buckeyes, big favorites, too big, really, for a rivalry game. I don't care what the records are. They kind of had their lunch taken from them by the Michigan Wolverines. In my view, they played very passive. They played not to lose instead of playing to win, it looked like. And if you have coaching experience or a lot of experience in sports, I think you know what I'm talking about. They didn't go out there and let her roll, let her rip. They played cautious, and it got them in the end, and they lost 13-10. Very, very disappointing result here. And we'll see what that does to them. We'll talk about the rankings a little bit later on. Now, following the game, there was a ugly scene at midfield at the Horseshoe. While the Ohio State players were gathering to sing Carmen, Ohio with the band, some of the Michigan players, a couple of them, brought the flag out and tried to plant the M flag in the block O at midfield. First of all these people trying to plant flags in artificial turf football fields, what do they think's going to happen? Do you think they're going to be able to plant it? I don't think so. That's a stupid idea, first of all, for anybody. Secondly, you're just inflaming stuff. It's just no good. We don't need that. That's been a classy rivalry over the years, and I hate to see something like that happen. The Columbus police, Ohio State campus police, got involved. They actually pepper sprayed 2 or 3 of the players involved, and it came out this evening. We're recording on Sunday evening. Came out a couple hours ago that both the Ohio State University and the University of Michigan have each been fined $100,000 for allowing that to happen. No suspensions of coaches or players, however. So that's probably a really good thing for all concerned. But we don't need that, especially in such a magnificent rivalry as that. I've been to 3 of those games in person. There's really nothing like it. That's so unnecessary, and I hated to see it. It didn't just happen in Columbus, Ohio, though. It happened in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, where the North Carolina State Wolfpack won a late, last-minute 35-30 win over their rivals 25 minutes or so away at Chapel Hill, the North Carolina Tar Heels. The Wolfpack players tried to plant the North Carolina State flag in the midfield there. There was a little scuffle. Didn't kind of degenerate into what happened in Columbus, but still, you hate to see that. That's Mac Brown's last game as a head coach. He's retiring. He's been one of the great ambassadors for college football. He's been the greatest football coach the University of North Carolina ever had. Won a national title with the Texas Longhorns and Vince Young in 2006. I just hate to see it. Happened in Tallahassee after Florida defeated the almost hapless Florida State Seminoles. Florida tried to plant a flag in the middle of the field in Tallahassee, and the coaches had words after, not happy words, after the game at each other. Arizona State player tried to plant a pitchfork in the A on the middle of Arizona's field after that rivalry win on Saturday, too. That didn't last long either. Don't do it, guys. It's silly. Now, there's one person that I blame for all of this, and you Northeast Ohio pro football fans are familiar with Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield, when he was the quarterback at Oklahoma, won the Heisman Trophy in 2017. The first or second game of the year, I can't remember whether it was the first or second game. Early in the season, they came to Columbus The Buckeyes had beaten them in Norman in 2016. The Sooners returned the favor and beat the Buckeyes in Columbus in early 2017. After Ohio State had left the field, et cetera, you know, there was no issue with that. Baker Mayfield took the OU flag and waved it around and tried to plant it in the midfield and then in the block O, and it just fell over. But that kind of popularized it a little bit, I think, unfortunately. And so we'll blame Baker for that. I don't dislike the guy, rather I liked him when he was a Browns quarterback, but it's his fault. They don't plant in artificial turf, guys. And you don't want to cause a ruckus. Win with class. Take it to the locker room. Go crazy in there. Have a blast on the way home, on the bus, on the plane, if you're the visiting team, whatever. But you don't need that. The sport doesn't need that stuff. It threw a blanket on what's a very big Saturday in college football rivalry weekend. Okay, and there was a heated exchange at Penn State, at State College, Pennsylvania, near the end of the Penn State-Maryland game, Penn State winning 44-7 and punching their ticket to the Big Ten championship game. We'll talk more about that here in a few minutes. James Franklin had the threes and fours, as he called them, in the game at the end on offense. That means the third and fourth string players getting a chance to play last regular season game. They're probably not going to play again this year or maybe ever for Penn State. That's great. And he said, if I'm going to put the threes and fours in, I'm going to let them play. I get that. I understand that. I've been around sports a long time. You can't just, you know, hey, they get in the game. Wonderful. You know, hand off up the middle. Let them do some things. However, and there's a big however, on the last play of the game, you don't have to hurl a touchdown pass into the end zone from 20 or 25 yards out. Run a running play. If the running play scores, that's on the defense. That's a defensive team's fault. You don't need to be passing it up 37-7 with 15 seconds left to go in the game. James Franklin and Mike Loxley, the Maryland coach, met at midfield, and Loxley really got in James Franklin's face about it. His quote at the end of the game to the press was that it was bullshit. I don't think it's going to make a difference one way or another to the committee that Penn State scored an extra touchdown. I think they would look at a 37-7 win just the same as they would look at a 44-7 win. So I really, you know, I'm not a big James Franklin fan. I side with him mostly on this one, but not throwing on the last play. I think that was over the top. And I'd probably be mad like Mike Loxley was if I was the Maryland coach too. All right, let's move on. I do have one kind of front office type issue to deal with here. Stanford University, having a tough few seasons here, has hired their former quarterback, Andrew Luck, to be a general manager. In other words, Andrew Luck's going to manage the roster at Stanford on their college football team. Much like professional teams, baseball, football, et cetera, have GMs, general manager. Their job is not to run the team on a day-to-day basis or coach the players or anything like that. Their job is to manage the roster. And now there's money involved in that. This is like, you know, the teams are going to have a financial budget of NIL once the Supreme Court ruling comes down, probably in the spring. The schools are going to actually be paying these players like their employees in a sense. And to hire somebody as a general manager seems to make a lot of sense to me. Oliver Luck's a smart guy. You don't play at Stanford if you're not a smart guy. Had a great pro career, as I said, and probably will be a really good litmus test, if you will. Let's see how that goes at Stanford. They got nowhere to go but up, folks. They've had a couple of really bad seasons in a row, and it's a very smart move by them to have a GM, a guy like Oliver Luck. He'll be able to recruit a little bit, too. The guy's a legend out there at Stanford. That really caught my eye on Saturday. Now, we have 9 championship games to chew on here. Before we get into that, however, I do want to watch. I don't usually watch the CFP committee shows on Tuesday night. It's you know, 4 weeks out, 5 weeks out. Who really cares? It's all a bunch of noise. But this week, I'm kind of intrigued. This is the last rankings, if you will, by the College Football Playoff Committee before we know the actual rankings in another week, after all the championship games are played, and then we find out what the bracket looks like. So here's my big thing this week. First of all, a couple of big things. First of all, Ohio State, Tennessee. I've seen things on some media outlets that are guessing what the rankings would be that put Tennessee 8 and Ohio State 9. That means they would play each other in Knoxville. I've seen Jerry Palm, for instance, on CBSSports.com, has Ohio State 8, Tennessee 9, which would mean the game would be played in Columbus. Again, this is all premature. There's a week to go. But I'm kind of intrigued about where they stack up with each other. Those two teams are the most comparable teams maybe in the rankings, both 10-2, both a couple of really big wins, two losses. We'll see how that goes. That's interesting to me. The other thing interesting to me is where do they put some of these 2-3 loss teams that are sort of on the bubble? Where are they going to rank Alabama, for instance? Alabama's 9-3. You know, they've had a couple of pretty bad losses. The loss at Oklahoma was just ugly a couple weeks ago. But they're Alabama, maybe the biggest brand name in the sport this side of South Bend, Indiana. And they draw eyeballs. We'll see where they rank Alabama. How about Miami of Florida? 10-2, played their way out of the ACC championship game on Saturday by losing up at Syracuse. They will be on the sidelines on championship week. 10-2, we're in the top 10 all year pretty much. Where are they going to be in this week's rankings? Also, a team like Ole Miss, 9-3, just like Alabama. Lane Kiffin's team, a couple of good wins, a couple of tough losses. Where are those kind of teams going to be ranked? That might tell us something moving forward before we watch these nine championship games this weekend. Speaking of which, here they are. Here are your matchups for this weekend in the conference championship tilts. Remember, Notre Dame is going to be in. They're not in a conference. They're an independent. They're 11-1. They cannot be a 1-4 seed. 1-4 seeds are reserved for conference champions. They're not in a conference. They can never be 1-4. They may be 5 or 6. Notre Dame will probably play a home game in the first round of the playoffs. All right, let's go through the conferences then. First of all, the Mid-American Conference will play Saturday at noon in Detroit. Miami of Ohio plays Ohio. Pretty familiar old rivals there. Miami's 1.5-point favorite. They have played this season. Miami defeated Ohio at Oxford 30-20 on October 19th. The Big Ten Championship game in Indianapolis Saturday night will pit Oregon, the number one team in the nation, the only undefeated team left, against the Penn State Nittany Lions, 11-1, their only loss at home to the Ohio State Buckeyes. Penn State are 3.5-point underdogs. In the SEC, Georgia, who outlasted their rival Georgia Tech in 8 overtimes this weekend on Friday night, they will play Texas. Texas beat Texas A&M to get that bid. They played earlier this season in Austin on that same date as Miami and Ohio played, October 19th. Georgia doubled them up in Austin, beating Texas 30-15. This game will be played in Atlanta, which is a bit of a help for the Georgia Bulldogs, I would say. So that's going to be intriguing. The ACC championship game will be in Charlotte, pretty close to the campus of Clemson University. Clemson kind of backed in. They lost their rivalry game to South Carolina on Saturday, yet they backed into the ACC title game with the Miami loss. They will play SMU, team that not enough people are talking about. They're 11-1. They lost by 3 points early in the season to BYU, a very good 10-2 BYU team. SMU is not getting very much credit. The game's at Charlotte. The crowd will be predominantly, well, let's just put it this way. There'll be a lot of orange in the crowd in Charlotte. That's a very interesting game to me. That'll be Saturday evening at 8, I believe. In the Big 12, which has been the most fun conference to watch this year, they had 8 or 9 teams still with a chance going into the final weekend. It played out kind of chalky, actually. Iowa State will play Arizona State in the Big 12 championship game. That will be in Arlington, Texas. Arizona State has been installed as a 1.5-point favorite. Local favorite Matt Campbell from here in Northeast Ohio played at Mount Union. Is leading the Iowa State team as he has for several years. He led them to the Fiesta Bowl 3 or 4 years ago. Iowa State is in its first ever 10-win season. The win on Saturday for them is the first time Iowa State football has ever won 10 games in a season. So they're a record-breaking club there in Ames. That should be a really good game. In the Sun Belt, the last conference that has divisions, Louisiana won the West. Marshall, in a thrilling double overtime game at James Madison, won the Eastern Conference, and they will meet for the championship. Louisiana is a 3-point favorite in that game. In Conference USA, will have a rematch of a game that was played on Saturday between Jacksonville State and Western Kentucky. They played in Bowling Green, Kentucky on Saturday. Western Kentucky won it on a last-second field goal, 19-17. They will this time meet in Jacksonville State's home stadium in Alabama. Jacksonville State Gamecocks are a 2.5-point favorite under Rich Rodriguez in that one. In the Mountain West, Friday evening, Boise State will host UNLV on the blue turf in Boise. They met earlier this season on October 26th. It was a really rugged game. Great game in Las Vegas, in the stadium there that they share with the Raiders. Boise State won that game 29-24. Ashton Gentry hurt his arm, and that's when he started wearing that kind of, not a sling, but kind of a brace on his arm, on his right arm there. That was a really physical game. They meet again, this time on the blue turf. Boise State by 4.5 is what the odds makers say. Last one. The American Conference Championship game, we've known this one for a couple weeks. Tulane will visit Army, go to West Point, and play. Tulane's a 4.5-point favorite. This is Army's first ever year in a football conference, ever, in their storied history of football, and they have made the championship game. They are undefeated in the league. Their only loss this year was to Notre Dame a couple of weeks ago at Yankee Stadium. So that's interesting. Will Army, as a one-loss team, if they win that game, will they get a bid as the fifth conference champion into the playoff? Not impossible. That's really intriguing. So we'll see what happens there as well. Lots of great games to watch this weekend. It should be great Friday and Saturday. Now to our picks. In week 14, going in, we pick four games every week. Those of you that have listened for a while know that. Going into week 14, we were 26-27-1 in our season-long picks. We picked four games. We picked Miami of Ohio, to beat Bowling Green. Miami won. Bowling Green was 3-point favorite. I took Miami. Miami won the game. That's a win. Illinois, we took at Wrigley Field, giving 8 to Northwestern. They won by 10. Thanks, Illini. Thanks, Colin Dixon. They won. We picked Syracuse, which I couldn't believe. I thought this was like stealing candy from a baby. Syracuse were 10.5-point underdogs under the dome in Syracuse against Miami of Florida. I thought Miami might win, but I thought there was no way it would be by more than 10 points. Syracuse wins the game 42-38. That's a win for us. Finally, at night in College Station, Texas, we picked Texas to win by more than 5.5 against Texas A&M. They won by 10. Thank you very much, Sark. We went 4-0 this week, second undefeated week of the season, got us back over 500. We're now 30 wins, 27 losses, and a tie on the year. So we'll put that record on the line and pick four championship games. Here we go. We'll go with that Friday night game at Boise. Boise State are 4.5-point favorites on the blue turf. I like them on the blue turf. I'll take them on the blue turf. Take Boise State. Western Kentucky at Jacksonville State. Again, they flip sites this week. Jacksonville State's a 2.5-point favorite. I expect a close game. I expect they'll win it and cover the Gamecocks. SMU Clemson. Clemson, 1.5-point underdog against the Mustangs. I like the proximity to Clemson's campus. I think that's a big thing in their favor. And I will take the Clemson Tigers in that one. They're very up and down. I don't like that very much, but I think they probably will win. Finally, we'll do the Big Ten. We got to do the Big Ten here in the Midwest. Oregon, Penn State in Indianapolis at Lucas Oil Stadium. Oregon will be a 3.5-point favorite in that game against the Nittany Lions. They are the last undefeated team left. I look for them to win over, quote-unquote, big game James. I almost can't say it. And the Penn State Nittany Lions. So we'll take Oregon giving 3.5 to Penn State. So there you go. We'll see how the picks go. Lots of good football to watch coming up starting Friday night. Three of the championship games are Friday. Six of them are Saturday through the day and evening. Enjoy. If you're listening to this, you're probably a pretty big college football fan, and you're looking very much forward to seeing what happens. And we'll see what happens when those committee rankings come out on Tuesday, too. Interested in a couple of things there. All right, that's it for this week for episode 16 of the Fifth Quarter. As always, thank you for choosing us. You can find us on Spotify. If you have any comments or questions, you can get us at our email address. That is 3goodquestions, 3GREE, 3goodquestions@gmail.com. Once again, thanks for listening. I'm your host, John Shomo. Have a great week, everybody.